Welcome to the Confidently Balance Your Hormones podcast. My name is Dee Davidson, and I'm a hormone health expert, master mindset coach, and multiple wellness business entrepreneur. I'm obsessed with helping you experience hormone balance, confidence, self-love, and live a life full of joy. I know we're about to have so much fun together, so thank you so much for pushing play today, and now let's begin. Welcome to another episode of Confidently Balance Your Hormones. This is your guide, Dee Davidson. And today I have a special guest. I have Dr. Sarah Paldme. Is that how you say your last name, by the way? I meant to ask you.
Yeah, Paldme.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Paldme. A licensed acupuncturist. She's a doctor of acupuncture and Chinese medicine. Dr. Sarah also is a certified functional medicine practitioner and even a yoga instructor. For over 20 years, Dr. Sarah has provided a truly holistic approach, combining thousands of years of wisdom from Chinese medicine to cutting-edge discoveries in modern medicine, lifestyle, and mind-body practices. Dr. Sarah has a strong focus on women's health care, including fertility, PCOS, PMS, and menopausal issues. Through over 20 years of practice in holistic health, she has bridged the gap between Western and alternative medicines, working closely with her patients' team of physicians and healthcare practitioners. Dr. Sarah opened Meadow Hill Wellness in 2005 with the goal of integrating traditional and holistic care in order to effectively maintain her patients' lifelong health. And I'm so excited to have you on, Dr. Sarah. Connecting the audience with more experts in different areas is so, so important in my world. So welcome to Confidently Balance Your Hormones.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
So tell us a little bit about yourself and what made you choose Chinese and functional medicine.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's see. It's been a long journey. I actually had my first introduction into acupuncture itself when I was about 15, and I was struggling with severe migraines where I was ending up in the hospital frequently. Back then, they didn't have the preventative drugs for migraines, and so I would go in, get a shot of Dilaudid in my butt, and wow. It was just such a miserable experience because the last thing you want with a migraine is to be in a really loud, bright environment. So that was my first nibble at it, but I was obviously very young. And I went back to school and tried a few different career paths. I thought at first I would be a veterinarian, changed my mind, and then I was in pre-law. And during my pre-law studies, because Colorado State did not have a pre-law program per se, they told me I should study philosophy. And I stumbled.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I stumbled upon an Eastern philosophy course and just fell in love with a video on Chinese medicine, and then reflected back on my personal experience of how much it helped me be migraine free after such a battle with migraines, and said, you know, I could actually make this into a career. And back then, it wasn't really a career in this country. Mm-hmm. So I forged ahead anyway, because I can be a bit of a free spirit sometimes, and the rest is history.
I love that. So if you don't mind talking a little bit about your headaches, I know that I have a lot of women that come to me with headaches, and I think that people sometimes just think this is a normal thing. Everyone gets headaches. Anything you'd like to share about where your headaches were coming from and maybe how you helped yourself with that?
For sure. Well, I think my headaches back then were definitely hormonally related. Going through puberty, that's a common time for migraines to come on. And then shifting fast forward to perimenopause, that's another time that we see a recurrence of migraines. So in Chinese medicine, we look at headaches and migraines definitely from a different perspective than functional medicine, but one of the commonalities we see between Chinese medicine and functional medicine, and even just your traditional Western medicine, is that migraines in particular are usually not caused by one particular thing. It's usually a number of stressors on your system. So that can look like what we think of as stress, as being stressed out, or it can be environmental stressors. So barometric pressure can play a part in migraines, as most migraine sufferers would know. But usually it's just not one thing. So it's not usually I'm stressed out and therefore I get a migraine, or the weather has turned and therefore we get a migraine. There's usually also I've been eating like crap and there all of a sudden I get a migraine because there's also a weather front coming in. So it's usually, I had a neurologist explain it to me once, and I thought it was such a wonderful explanation, that your brain is like a bunch of rubber bands, and a person that is a migrainer, because once you've had migraines, you are a migrainer, whether you ever have a migraine or not again, you're in that category.
Okay.
So if you think of your brain as a, like a bunch of rubber bands, a migrainer, their rubber bands are just a little tauter, you know, pulled a little bit tighter to the point where their threshold for having a headache or a migraine is they're right at the threshold a lot of times. And it just takes a couple little things put together to put you over the edge so that you get a migraine. So the rubber band will snap and you'll have a migraine.
Okay.
Someone that doesn't normally get headaches won't have that threshold. So they can have all those stressors at once. And that's not how their symptoms manifest.
Wow. So where would someone start that is experiencing these headaches?
Yeah. So I like to say we've got to figure out what those common stressors are. And we also have to deal with making you as healthy, both brain and body, as possible. So in Chinese medicine, we would look for what a person's traditional Chinese medical diagnosis is, where the energy may be deficient in their body or where it may be stuck, maybe excess. Figure out what patterns are at play in their system, and then create balance. That's what Chinese medicine really does, is tries to rebalance your energies and give your body what it needs and take away the things that it doesn't. Similar from a functional medicine perspective, right? We want to try and make sure that you are nutritionally balanced, that you're living a healthy lifestyle, that you're getting enough sleep. That's a big one in both Chinese and functional medicine, as well as Western medicine. If you don't sleep well, your chances of getting headaches or migraines is obviously higher. And put together a plan so that you are not just simply saying, how do we fix the headache when it comes on, but how do we prevent it? One of the big things is dehydration. So people think dehydration can be fixed just by drinking a whole bunch of water. Well, if your water doesn't have any electrolytes in it, it can just be flooding your system, and that can cause other problems. So making sure that you're drinking water that's actually going to hydrate you is an important key. So it's really about finding out where the patient may be, could use some tweaks. I'm not going to say doing things wrong because I don't want any shame involved, but where can you do things a little bit more right to make your migraines much less likely? And of course, I'm a proponent of acupuncture. It basically saved and changed my life in many ways, but especially with the migraines at a young age. Acupuncture can be a beautiful way to restore balance in the system and is extremely effective for migraines. So if you find a practitioner that's really competent and can help you to utilize acupuncture and then also other methods that will help to prevent the migraines, you'll be in a good place.
That is so cool. So, you know, I have a lot of people that they're like, oh, the thing with the needles, right? They don't really know what to expect. They might be afraid to see an acupuncturist. Can you just walk us through what someone can expect when they come into your office? What is the traditional method you use there?
Well, I have to share quickly that I am not a fan of needles, which is hilarious that I became an acupuncturist. But the first time I ever went for acupuncture, my hands and feet were in that cold, clammy sweat. I was so nervous. And once I realized that there was absolutely nothing to be nervous about and that the needles didn't hurt, I got over it quickly, and it helped me so much that it became like a complete non-issue. So I do have to say that because I've always hated needles, when I went to school, I followed the teachers that were known to have extremely gentle needle techniques. So there are acupuncturists out there that may be a little heavy-handed compared to others. So I would say that the first thing is, if you are hesitant about needles, just make your practitioner know that immediately and make sure that they respond with, you know, empathy, compassion, and we'll walk you through the process. So what you should feel with the needles is next to nothing, maybe the tiniest of pricks. Occasionally we'll hit a hair follicle. To be fair, that doesn't feel great, but that's very occasional. But largely acupuncture is a painless procedure and is so super relaxing that I would say at least half of my patients fall asleep on the table. The other half go into la la land in some way, shape, or form.
Okay. And I'm just trying to envision, you can tell I've never actually experienced acupuncture myself, and I'm very curious for myself as well. So when someone comes in, how long is the process? I know I'm sure it's different depending on what you're doing, but how many needles are they looking at? Tell us more about that.
Okay. So when you first come into clinic, usually you'll do a full health history and we'll ask you questions that you're like, what does that have anything to do with X, Y, and Z that I'm presenting with? But in holistic medicine and in Chinese medicine, we really are noticing patterns, and some things that you wouldn't even think are related are totally related and help us to work up a diagnosis. So first we'll ask you a bunch of questions and then we'll take your pulses, and you actually have 12 pulses on each wrist. And each pulse, six pulses on each wrist, 12 total, and each pulse corresponds to a different energy center. So we're looking for the quality of the pulse. We're not just counting beats per minute. And so sometimes your pulse will feel more slippery. Sometimes it'll feel more like a guitar string. Sometimes it will feel like a string of pearls. Sometimes it's very weak. Sometimes it's very strong. All of those things mean different things combined with a tongue diagnosis. So we have the patient stick out their tongue. And again, the color of the tongue, the shape of the tongue, how big or small your tongue is, whether it's got a red tip, whether it's got a thick white coating or a thick yellow coating, all of those things help us to form a diagnosis of why you as an individual are experiencing your symptoms. So not all people with migraines are treated alike, not all people with digestive complaints or hormonal complaints are treated alike. There's different reasons why you're experiencing these symptoms. It's our job to figure it out. So we go through a pretty extensive workup with you. And then usually your practitioner should ask you, do you need to use the restroom before we start? We've just kept you talking for 45 minutes. And then you're going to be on the table for another half hour, 45, sometimes even an hour, depending on the practitioner's style and what you've come in with. So after you're comfortably positioned on the table, sometimes face up, sometimes face down, again, depends on what part of the body we need to access. We make you nice and cozy. In our clinic, we have heated beds, we have heated foot warmers, we've got all sorts of fun things to keep you nice and super cozy. We get you comfortable. And then we start with the actual treatment with the needles. And again, these needles are as thin as a hair. I mean, they're really, really, really super tiny. And we may use between 4 needles, which is not super common to use that few, but there are particular acupuncture styles that do use only like 3 or 4 needles. I would say the average is probably 10 needles. And then if we're doing a two-sided treatment, if you've got multiple complaints that we need to address, sometimes we'll use as many as 20 needles.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sounds like I want to come in just for a self-care day. It sounds so relaxing.
It is super relaxing, and it can be, you know, there can be life-changing results. There can be just shifts in things. I mean, there's just so many beautiful things that come from getting on the table and receiving acupuncture. It's really a beautiful medicine.
How often do people typically come in at first?
Yeah, that's a great question. So it really depends on how debilitating their symptoms are. So if you're coming in for a general wellness day, you may come in once a month or even once a season. If you're doing a lot of the right things, if you're, you know, eating pretty well, if you're resting, if you don't have a super stressful lifestyle. And then we have people that need to come in 3 times a week if they're in excruciating pain where they can't go to work or, you know, can't walk or things like that. So with pain management cases, it can be quite frequent, at least for the first few weeks, to get you out of that crippling situation. And then it can be just tune-ups. So it really depends. For migraine sufferers, if they're getting migraines more than once a week, I want to see them twice a week. If they're getting migraines just around their cycle, let's say, maybe we would see them once a week,
okay,
at least for the first few months.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Let's talk to our hormone warriors here. I can't speak today, that are listening in and they're like, all right, when are they going to talk about how acupuncture helps with? So my main following is women ages 40 plus who are now saying, what's going on with my body? I'm doing all the same things I've always done. I don't know who I am anymore. They might have, you know, mood swings, weight gain, not sleeping, hot flashes. How does acupuncture help with that?
Yeah. So first of all, I think one of the overlying ways that it can help is acupuncture influences directly your stress hormones. And your stress hormones, a lot of people think of cortisol. If we were to, not that we do this, but if we were to take the blood of a perimenopausal woman before an acupuncture treatment and after an acupuncture treatment, the blood plasma concentrations change. The stress hormones in your blood change. So that is a first off. And stress hormones, as you know, as a provider and someone that helps women with perimenopause, stress hormones, reproductive hormones, and blood sugar all influence each other, right? Mm-hmm. So if we can make an impact on and smooth out your stress hormone rhythms, which we can with acupuncture, that's going to influence the rest of your symptoms. So acupuncture can definitely help with stress hormones, which is, you know, such a rampant issue in this country. And then acupuncture is amazing for hot flashes. A lot of women these days are deciding to opt into hormone replacement therapy. And estrogen is certainly an effective measure for dealing with hot flashes. But if you're not there for some reason, acupuncture is a great way to calm down your hot flashes. Again, with that Chinese medical workup that we were talking about, different constitutions and patterns that we find, we can help you with why your hot flashes are different than someone else's. So obviously some people get lots of these warm flashes throughout the day, like 20 times a day. And then some women get an unbearable hot flash once a day. So we can unlock and figure out why you're experiencing the patterns that you do in your hot flashes. We can do things to support your digestive system through acupuncture. A lot of women complain about their metabolism changing. That can be a tricky one, but we can definitely work with you to find out how to best help your digestive system. There are so many ways that acupuncture can support a woman in that time of life. And that's actually what I specialize in as well in my clinics in Maryland. So
do you integrate the functional medicine? Do you do functional lab testing as well? What things would you incorporate around that?
So I have a nurse practitioner in my clinic and I work with her. So working with me directly in clinic looks a little different than my other acupuncturist. So because I specialize in women with midlife issues, perimenopause and menopause, I do more functional medicine and I do still do some acupuncture with the midlife population, but you would come in and do a full Chinese medical history as well as a functional medicine intake. And then if we believe that labs would be appropriate, then my nurse practitioner orders labs for my patients. And then I review them with her from a functional medicine and Chinese medicine view. And we occasionally have women go on bioidenticals, or we start with more plant-based and nutritional-based measures to help with their symptoms.
And I'm curious, to my own knowledge, what is the difference between the Chinese medicine intake and the functional medicine? What are the differences that you're looking for?
That's a great question. I mean, in Chinese medicine, we ask you, do you tend to run warm? Do you tend to like your beverages hot or cold? There's the pulse diagnosis and the tongue diagnosis, which we don't use in functional medicine. There's just so many different ways that we relate things. There's corresponding meridians with emotions. So which emotions do you stay stuck in? So it's just a completely different workup, but it's beautiful when it's blended with the functional medicine workup. just because there's just so much more information. It can go on forever, though. So
I know that's what I tell people. You can go down that rabbit hole. I'm just so fascinated by all of the different methods. But, you know, I tell people, hey, I have access to 4,000 different labs. We can keep, you know, I think that is one of the things that women get stuck in, too, is they give themselves this I'm broken diagnosis. And I remind women, you're not broken, and they can stay in this hamster wheel of what do I fix next? What do I fix next? Do you find that as well?
Absolutely. So with working with my nurse practitioner, we definitely have women that come in and think, I need my hormones tested. And there is value in seeing those lab results. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we actually start with LabCorp with some of the basic panels. And then if someone has some extreme disruptions, extreme symptoms, we definitely can go for like a GI map or a Dutch pan. You know, there's lots of different ways that we can test. And I think all of those ways have value, but it is a rabbit hole that you can go down. And if you're not doing a lot of the basics, the fundamental basics of like regulating your circadian rhythm by getting
morning
light, you know, if you're not resting well, if you're in an unhealthy relationship, if you're not sleeping, if you're, you know, there are symptoms that we can already see what the labs are going to say before we do the labs. So right. I caution that that's only one piece of information. And if you are not serving yourself with self-care, all the labs in the world are not going to isolate that magic bullet that's going to make you well. You are not broken. You're living a human experience on earth, and we can help to make that a more enjoyable process. But to say we're going to fix you is tricky. The language that we use matters.
It does. Thank you for reiterating all that. I just felt like, oh, the universe came in. And here's another person outside of Coach D talking about this. When women come to me for a discovery call, they hear, oh, you know, my marketing talks a lot about functional labs. And I tell them, if you've never worked with anyone or had anyone go through your lifestyle with a fine-tooth comb and looked at your nutrition, your blood sugar balance, your rest, your stress, all of the main things that you were just talking about, let's start there, because functional labs can be really expensive. Insurance companies don't cover that. And, you know, before I was able to order functional labs and build protocols, that's what I did. I helped people with the foundational things. And so I tell people, you can move the needle so much with getting honest with yourself about the choices you're making every day and how you're taking care of yourself or not taking care of yourself. So thank you for restating that. It's nice to hear.
Yeah, absolutely. We're living so disconnected from nature and how we lived 10 years ago. And there are definite impacts to us. We have to remember that. But again, data is data. And there's nothing wrong with having those tools as long as you're not clinging too tightly to them.
And not
bringing your best self to the table. So, I mean, I love blood sugar monitors. Like I'm wearing one right now, continuous glucose monitor, because I like to see how different foods impact me at different times of the day, or how my blood sugar gets elevated very easily if I'm stressed out. And so there's definitely ways to integrate these tools to find the pieces of information you're looking for. But again, there are so many levels to health, and we have to make sure that we're doing the fundamental things that we need for ourselves.
Agreed. And I love the blood sugar thing, because when people come to me like, you need, this is the thing you need to figure out, right? Hormones and blood sugar, they kind of run together. And, you know, one food might be great for you and not spike your blood sugar, but not so great for me. It doesn't matter if it's organic whole food. We all are unique individuals. So that's really, really important to stress as well. And tools are great for some people and not others. So I love that. So where can people learn more about you, Dr. Sarah, and connect with you? I'm sure there'll be people that want to find you.
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the best ways is to look at my website. So again, I practice in Annapolis, Maryland, and we also have a satellite clinic in Edgewater, Maryland, similar areas, only about 15 minutes apart. But my website is www.meadowhillwellness.com. And another place to connect with me, which is super exciting, is I have a website called The Rising Woman Project. Rising Woman Project was born because I do wellness retreats now, which I absolutely love. And it also hosts my podcast, which is Midlife Rise and Thrive. So if you want to check out my podcast, similar to yours, it focuses on women in midlife. And, but also we have some amazing retreats coming up. I do have one in April that's sold out, but my next retreat I just announced is in July, and it is a culinary and wellness retreat. So I'll be teaching some restorative yoga, we'll be hiking, and the whole weekend will actually be chefed by a private chef that I know well. And we're in the process of designing a really super nutrient dense, healthy menu that will be absolutely delicious. So I'm super excited about that. So that's on the RisingWomanProject.com. And that's a great way to connect with me.
And I have to ask, where is that being held and how many women will be attending?
Yeah, so it's going to be just 9 spots. And it's on a 300-acre farm in Maryland, right by Sugarloaf Mountain. And it is going to be so amazing. And I just found out that there will be alpaca on the farm, which are like
fun
animals. Yes. I love alpaca more than anything. I'm super excited about that. But I really am launching these retreat programs because I think that one of the things that women in midlife often suffer with, and it's a bit off topic, but not really, because it's our people, is that friendships often start to fall apart in midlife because we start to question what's important for us. And
so true.
Yeah, right. And so I think loneliness is an epidemic in this country. And I think midlife is one of the places where we find that. Because we just start to like decide what's healthy for us. And that doesn't mean that our friends are on the same path. So I really love retreats because it's a great way to bring women together that are all on the path to betterment and to self-care and to reflection. And I just think it's just a beautiful way to hold space for this time in life. So that's where this came from. And I'm looking forward to planning so many retreats in the future.
I'm glad you brought that up because I have had several clients. I have a group program as well as my one-on-one clientele. And I've had several women come to me and ask me for, retreat advice or, where can I go? Who can I connect with for those exact reasons? So it's nice to get that out there on the podcast. If you are looking for connections, like-minded people, I think there's also that piece of we're not the same person that we were in our 20s and 30s when we get, for some of us, at least it's the hope, right? And I hear that a lot that people either maybe their significant other doesn't like to travel, or their friends are all very involved in their family activities, so they don't have those people to travel with. They're looking for more of a spiritual connection. They're into the health and wellness and that and all of that stuff. So that's great. I love that you're doing that.
Yeah. Maybe one day we'll host a retreat together, Dee.
That would be awesome. I told you that was on my list. I did look into it a few years ago and then I was just overwhelmed with really launching my practice. I'm like, oh gosh, I don't think I should be getting into this, but that would be so fun.
It would be so fun. It would be. And they're great. It's a great way to meet new friends.
Yes. Well, thank you so much for taking the time for sharing today. And I appreciate you so much.
I appreciate the opportunity. Thank you, Dee. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of Confidently Balancing Your Hormones. If you enjoyed today's episode, I'd love for you to share it with a friend and also hit follow at the top of this podcast. If you have a couple of minutes and you can leave a quick review, it will help other women in need find this podcast. You can find me on Instagram at confidently_love_yourself. I would love to stay connected and hear from you.